fiction. I've been doing this at these AFP events now. Do you know who the recipient of these pictures is?
Obama.
Barack Obama. I'm tweeting it. Because he's under the dire misimpression that all of you are limousine millionaires and billionaires. Well, you don't look like Hollywood celebrities to me. Okay, sit down. It is great to see you all. Wisconsin really is ground zero in the battle against the unhinged progressive left. So I stand with you, and as many of you know from my own career, I've been battling the unhinged left for some two decades now. So I feel your pain. Speaking of Barack Obama, you know, I follow his Twitter account very closely. And some of you may have noticed this. We put it up on my new internet startup, a company that hasn't taken a single penny from Barack Obama. Twitchy.com. Last night on Barack Obama's Twitter page, he was pushing a t-shirt. Have you heard about this? The t-shirt says, "Health reform, still a BFD. Now, I know this is a family-friendly audience, so I'm not going to spell that out. But you'll recall that that is the phrase that Joe Biden whispered loudly in Obama's ear when they were celebrating shoving that monstrosity down our throats 2 years ago. Health reform, still a BFD. I think that stands for bad financial decision. Big bleeping dud. You know, we are battling a lot of these progs, I call them, on the internet, and it really is the new frontier, the new battleground and war space for conservatives to get in there and get in their faces, because that's what we need to do. And I can't continue talking with you today without pausing for a moment, and I hope that instead of a moment of silence, that we can have another moment of raucousness for the late Andrew Breitbart. Know that he was a staple at AFP events here and across the country, and he is not forgotten. His online legacy and the grassroots activism that he has spurred across the country, particularly among the younger generation, is thriving now. Get out your pens, because I want you to write a couple of these things down. We want his family, and especially his four beautiful children, to know that he will not be forgotten, that as conservatives, we support each other without the nanny state. The Breitbart Children's Trust was established by some of his friends and fellow conservative colleagues. And here is the address, 149 South Barrington Avenue. Number 735. That's in Los Angeles, California, and the zip code is 90049. We stand with Breitbart and we'll never forget him. And this year, in so many ways, is about the themes that he carried on, about making sure that the left does not control the narrative. This is, like he always has said, war. And each and every one of us is a warrior in our own way. And a lot of you are small business people, working all the time. You've got families, you've got stay-at-home dads and moms. But each of us has a role to play. And I think this is a larger lesson of the right, as we've all been under siege by Barack Obama and his brass-knuckles Chicago team. They said that they will push back twice as hard. Well, we will push back 100 and 1,000 and 100,000 times as hard. is the truth. Our ammunition is the Constitution and the principles, not just that we preach, but by which we live. And it's our integrity. It's our character. It's our own life stories that we need to get out there. These Eliskiads, they've perfected the art of the narrative. And that's why you see, every time you see Nancy Pelosi, and what I call the femgops out there, spinning their tails about the war on women. I can tell you about the war on women, and every woman in this audience can tell you about the war on conservative women. That these demagogues have waged on us. You've got a fabulous lieutenant governor here as well as a governor. She's got the battle scars. You know, I thought I had a bad one. I was called a mashed up bag of meat with lipstick on it by that loser progressive impaler Keith, what's his name? But your lieutenant governor has suffered far worse and endured far worse. And conservative women need to stand with her. We need to stand up. We need to push back. We need to tell our stories loudly and unapologetically. A lot of you know my own personal story and my own journey. My parents came here from the Philippines in 1970. They were legal immigrants to this country. They had to learn English. They had to pay all of their legal fees, doctor's fees, before they even set foot in this country. And as many of you who are first and second and third generation Americans appreciate and understand, it is a privilege to be in this greatest country on God's green earth. Perpetuated by the grievance monger in chief in the White House. We're united in defending the American dream. They are united in sabotaging it, destroying it, undermining it, and to invoke their favorite word, transforming it. America doesn't need to be transformed. We need to be restored. We need restoration. Our founding principles do not need to be transformed. They need to be preserved. Preservation. These are the things that we stand for. So, the other day I was on Fox and Friends and they asked me about Nancy Pelosi invoking the founding fathers to promote the most mother of unconstitutional mandates, government mandates, Obamacare. Do you know what I did? I couldn't help it. She just sets off my gag reflex. I know that's mean. That's what they consider incivil. And it's no joke that these people, whether they're in the White House, whether it's David Axelrod or Jim Messina or that crony mogul Valerie Jarrett, you want to talk about a one percenter? It's no joke that these people have as one of their underlying agendas the criminalization and the marginalization of conservative dissent and activism. actually, that deserves a boo.
Boo!
Yes, they can, they always say. And you know what we have to say? No, you can't. No, you won't. And pardon my French, the hell you can't! Every day, I put out this regular tweet, and I address it to Barack Obama and Jim Messina. Still here, you haven't shut me up yet. You should be the same. One of the things that we do on Twitchy.com is push back with counter-narratives. And we want to make sure that social media is a space that is not monopolized by these fable makers and these false storytellers. So, to celebrate the second birthday of that terrible two, Obamacare, Barack Obama tried to play this little game where he had everybody put out this theme called hashtag, I like Obamacare. Because, and then you're supposed to explain why you liked Obamacare. So conservatives hijacked this hashtag. And I'm just going to share these because one of the best ways we can fight back is with our sense of humor. Isn't it funny that they always say that we're the angry ones, and then you look at Keith Olbermann's face, and this guy, Ann Schultz. It's the scariest looking dude I've ever seen. But look at me! Look at you! You know, we're having fun while we do this. We know it's a serious business defending the American dream. But we're happy warriors, just like Ronald Reagan. I like Obamacare because I'm in a union that donated to Obama, so I've got a waiver. Whee! I like Obamacare because I got to watch the negotiations on C-SPAN. Oh, wait a minute. I did. I like Obamacare because the free market is so cliche. My favorite is from one of my favorite bloggers and tweeters online, Iowa Flaw, Dave Burge. I like Obamacare because the best things in life are free. Give or take $2 trillion. On another quick serious note, these Keynesian eggheads have driven us into the ground. And I think this was the point when the discussion came up a couple of weeks ago about Obama pushing higher education on every American as some sort of entitlement. Because look what it's gotten us. They've got all these Ivy League smarty pants who just don't know that when you're in a hole, you gotta stop digging. Especially when those shovels are paid with our money. They put these whiteboards out and they talk about innovation and what they're going to do to improve the quality of health care when these guys don't have a clue about, oh, I don't know, simple things like meeting a paycheck and payroll, let alone inventing and participating in our free enterprise system. A couple of years ago, this was 2 years ago, just as this whole Obamacare debacle was unfolding, you might recall that former President Bill Clinton had to be rushed to the hospital. He had a heart condition. And so he immediately underwent this procedure where they put two stents in one of his coronary arteries. And to me, it was a very timely and notable reminder about the dangers of stifling private sector medical innovation. Because guess what? Stents don't grow on trees. And government bureaucrats didn't make them. They only stood in the way. And then they taxed them. And it's the medical device tax that was stuffed into the Obamacare legislation that is now going to stifle the very kind of developments that saved Bill Clinton's life. Do you think these people get that?
No.
No. But they've got Harvard and Princeton and Stanford degrees. And after they ruin our economy and their failed ideas keep failing, they get to go back to their Ivy League world and indoctrinate a new generation of failed eggheads. This has to stop. And to make another leap in connection, this is why what Tim talked about, the need for innovation in the educational marketplace, is so important. Ways in which Wisconsin is ground zero, because school choice and enhancing parental autonomy is the key, the ultimate key to rescuing our nation. And these progs have long known that if they can get to our kids early, they are set for life. You know, there was a story earlier this week about how there was a, I think it was a middle school class in Virginia is being brainwashed now to do opposition research against Republicans. They see our kids as their homes. They say, yes, they can. And you know what we have to say? No, you can't. Thank you. This is my most important role. I mean, you see me on TV, you see me on Fox News, I do these kind of speeches. But the most important role I can play, and that each one of you can play, is as a parent who is shaping your child to be a productive, non-entitled job creator and wealth creator in this country. Bill Ayers. That is. And yes, I call him a traitor. He proudly calls himself a terrorist. I call him a traitor. This man was in Venezuela a couple of years ago, and he was extolling the Venezuelan dictator for their education system. And he was drawing parallels to the Alinskyite principles that he was trying to apply to the classrooms here in America. And he said this, and it stuck in my mind. Education is the motor force for revolution. Revolution, upheaval, anarchy, the politics of Obama-style transformation. We always hear these platitudes about how our children are the future. They're my future, not the government's. The bullying and the brass knuckles tactics of this administration. And I have proudly stood with you and Americans for Prosperity since day one. I was here several years ago at one of the first tea parties right by a lake. And I had a call and refrain then, because at the time, President Obama said he was going to call grassroots conservatives out. And we flipped the script. And we have to call them out. We have to call these job-destroying corruptocrats out. And this nosy body first lady out. And these radical green meddlers and scammers and fraud artists out. I live in Colorado now, and I've lived there for almost 4 years, and I see every day how that administration is trying to sabotage key industries in my state, and it's the same everywhere in the country. Tim talked about some of these eco-scams, and it's something that I've been documenting and reporting on in my blogs and columns, the big green boondoggles. And, you know, I've said over the last couple of years that if there's a theme sound for this administration, it's this. Do, do, do. Do you know what that is? It's the dump truck backing up every Friday, dumping new documents that they don't want the mainstream media to talk about. And there was just one this past Friday, and there was one last Friday, and we're finding more and more about how every last administration official had their hands on deck trying to cover up this $500 million cylinder bankruptcy. Did you know that up until the whole, you know what, hit the fan, Michelle Obama had been planning to have cylinder executives in her box for the State of the Union address? Because they're innovative. I'm innovative. I'm never going to be in Michelle Obama's box. Well, that would be quite a scene, wouldn't it? Michelle versus Michelle. We've got the facts on our side. We've got truth. We're the ones who have the Founding Fathers' legacy on our side. And it is incumbent upon each and every one of you to stand up for yourselves, for your children, your grandchildren, your families, your communities, your leaders in this state who are acting like what we need in leadership, real adults, not whiny crybabies. We're proud to stand, not as Americans for entitlement, not Americans for grievance, but Americans, not hyphenated. That's the last thing I wanted to stress to you. Because we've got racial demagogues and race hustlers in the White House who want to divide us. These are the people that are always calling us racists. And I always put 20 A's in there. Racists. Every day, these are the same people who ask me, "Have you looked in the mirror lately, Michelle? You're not white." They constantly position conservatives, and particularly minority conservatives, as either deluded victims, puppets of the white man. They're always talking about white, white, white. White, white, white. Who are the racists? Look in the mirror. We can be most effective. All we have to do is turn the mirror on them, take the pictures, and tweet them out, which is what I plan to do, and be happy warriors. Just to go back to Andrew Breitbart, I mean, you saw him on TV, you saw him in these events, and you know that the caricatures that they try to portray, that the boxes that they try to put us in are all false. Those are the people who are self-deluded. These are the people who are incredibly unhappy when we still have the privilege of living in the greatest country on this earth, and we are going to keep it this way.